Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades anywhere you go, try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus. Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Happy New Year! Brian Daboll and Joe Shane need to go. I'm now convinced of it, Tiki. I hate to start the new year on such a negative note.
You leave for a week and a half, and it's the first words out of your mouth?
First words out of my mouth. Well, the first words were Happy New Year. The second words, are the cold, hard reality.
Keep my coach's name out your mouth.
Well, look, I'm not a mean guy. I'm not a mean-spirited guy. It's January 2nd. Happy birthday to my sister. Happy anniversary to myself. This was my first date where Joe and I were full-time, or he was full-time for a long time. My first full-time day at WFAN.
How many years?
It was 2007. So I think I'm beginning my 19th year.
Wow.
I'm an old man. And over those years, there are moments with clarity where you realize that a team needs to move on from a head coach or a manager. And I've had this a few times, unfortunately, over these 19 years. Days where I come in and I say, look, I don't want to call for a man's job. I feel terrible, but it's not personal, it's business. And whether it was Willie Randolph or Lawrence Frank or Adam Gase or Tom Coughlin.
I was going to say, keep going.
Tom Coughlin. I think I called for Tom's job numerous times, and I admit I was wrong a few of those times. Maybe not at the end, but early on I was right or wrong. Here's the reason. I want to lay this out to you, Sean, and every other Giant fan, because I know some of you want continuity, and I understand that. Here are the reasons why they've got to make a move. Do you think the Giants should be forced to draft a quarterback in the first round?
No, and I'm not convinced that they are going to draft a quarterback in the first round.
So I agree with the first part. The second part I vehemently disagree with you on. I think if Joe Shane is back and Brian Daboll is back, they are 1,000% drafting a quarterback, even if it's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, but I think the problem, and this is a larger issue in the National Football League, which we could get deeper in, but we're focused on Dabes and Shane right now.
Yeah, yeah.
That teams tie their success to a quarterback.
Yeah.
They believe that without a, and it's flawed, by the way, they believe that without a quarterback, they have no chance to be successful. And I know that history tells you that a team that wins a Super Bowl generally has a Hall of Fame quarterback. And by the way, historically, that's been the case. I think it's about, up to about 80% of the teams that have won Super Bowls have or will have had a quarterback who's in the Hall of Fame. That includes Pat Mahomes of recently, and you can go all the way back to Super Bowl I. There's a lot of teams believe that you need a quarterback.
Right.
But a team that is not ready to win a Super Bowl, like the New York Giants, don't need to go all in for a quarterback.
So I don't disagree with your point.
You just think that the Giants are.
They're going to. If and I'll give you a little piece of evidence on this. Brian Daboll, after they beat the Indianapolis Colts, a game that has been labeled the worst win in the history of the franchise. I heard Chris McMonagle say that. I've heard many Giant fans say that.
That's because they want the tank. They want the guaranteed top two pick.
No, I understand.
So they can decide that Shedeur Sanders is going to be the savior.
Right.
Or that Cam Ward going to be the heir to the savior. Whatever the heck
right.
it is.
Right.
But I don't buy that.
And well, I don't buy it either.
We can dig into it later, but everybody is so obsessed with the quarterback. It's a flaw in the system in the NFL, and it's why teams get themselves in trouble.
No, I agree with you, but and this actually feeds into my point. My point is, if Joe Shane is back, if Brian Daboll is back, they're going to draft a quarterback even if it's the wrong decision. They're going to stretch on a quarterback even if it's the wrong decision. If they're picking one or two, which is still possible, though not likely, they may take one of those two quarterbacks, and you and many others, Boomer I heard say it recently, may come out and say, hey, that's the wrong decision. And even now, picking where they may potentially pick, they may give up a ridiculous amount to move up and draft a quarterback because they feel like they have to. And when you are a general manager who's been here for 3 going on 4 years, and you're a head coach that's been here for 3 going on 4 years, and that head coach on Monday, or I should say Sunday, right after they beat Indianapolis, I counted it. Do you know how many times during that postgame press conference he uttered, this is what happens when you've got good quarterback play.
Not enough.
No, not enough. But
not enough.
It reiterates that this is what they're going to do.
Okay, yeah, but here's the thing. When you draft a quarterback, you don't know that he's going to be a good quarterback.
Agreed.
In fact, a lot of these young quarterbacks are not very good quarterbacks. And here's the other thing, that if you have a good quarterback and just not a terrible quarterback, some amazing things can happen. So what Dave's is saying is good quarterback play. He's not talking about having a good quarterback. He's having a quarterback, whether it be Drew Locke or Tommy DeVito a year ago, not doing stupid things. Not making bad decisions. You know what? We got some great players around you. Malik Nabers is a hell of a rookie. Throw him the ball. Don't think about it.
Right.
If he's open and there's a man and it's man coverage, which they got a couple of times, just throw him the ball. He'll make the catch. By the way, it doesn't even have to be a good throw. The one down the sideline, the right side, it was a bad throw. It was supposed to be back shoulder. It floated up in the air. Malik went and got it and caught it. Right? He threw another one in the left corner, right near the end zone on the 1-yard line. The back shoulder throw was a little bit out of bounds. Malik snagged it, got his feet in bounds, and set up a touchdown. Right? Good players make great quarterbacks. You know what I'm, what I'm saying?
I agree with
you. And on top of that, great offensive lines make great teams.
Tiki.
So I know what everybody wants right now. I know that everybody's screaming and sitting in their cars right now or listening to us on the Odyssey app, the free Odyssey app, by the way, and saying, I want the quarterback. I want the quarterback. You know what I want? I want Jordan Mailata. You know what I want? I want Landon Dickinson. You know what I want? I want Cam Jerkins, who replaced the legend in Jason Kelsey. And you know what? I want a Lane Johnson, who's my stalwart right tackle for a decade. Give me that, because that's how you win. How did the Giants win before? It wasn't because Eli was fantastic and the greatest quarterback ever. Good luck and congratulations getting to the Hall of Fame, Eli. But it was because the offensive line was solid, for a decade plus. So, yeah, you can win if you pick the right quarterback and he turns out to be Patrick Mahomes, but most of these dudes aren't that. They just aren't.
And you know what's
beautiful? And you know what you do instead? You take an average to good quarterback. Hey, Sam Darnold. An average to good quarterback. Hey, Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. An average to good quarterback. Hey, Jared Goff. And you put great things around him and a great offensive line and a system and a coaching staff, and you can win that way. You don't need the Hall of Famer.
And this is why everything you just said is beautiful. This is why you agree with me. Daboll and Shane have to go. Because this, hear me out. Everything you said is beautiful.
Right.
I agree with you. This administration, unfairly, but reality is reality,
right,
will feel pressure to stretch for a quarterback because this is year 4 and they haven't had
unless
one.
Unless they're smart.
Well, I don't think they can afford to. Because I think when John Mara says, hey, why should I bring you back? If that conversation even happens, maybe he's just going to say, I'm bringing you back.
Yep.
Maybe he's not going to make him beg for the job. Don't you think, and this is where we're going to disagree, because everything you just said, I'm with you. I ain't arguing about stretching for a quarterback. What I'm arguing with you about is that if this administration is here, they're more likely to stretch for a quarterback. If you get rid of Shane and Daboll and you bring in a whole brand new administration, they can sell a lot easier to its fan base.
Right.
Hey, we are rebuilding. And we're not going to just reach for a quarterback. We're not going to give up all our draft capital to make a deal with the New England Patriots. And that's the other thing. If you bring Shane and Daboll back, they're on the hot seat whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the hot seat.
Of course.
You're going to allow...
But everybody is, kind of.
To a degree.
Right.
To a degree. But you know who's on less of a hot seat?
Who?
The guy who's in their first year.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/trader plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
General manager
true.
Who's beginning their first year.
Very
so hear
true.
Me out on this. If Joe Shane remains as general manager, and I believe this to be true, and I'll be proven right in May or late April, and stretches to get that quarterback in the first round, you're telling me you're okay, you Giant fans are going to be okay with Joe Shane trading the future to the New England Patriots to stretch on a quarterback who may not be that good, who may not be any good, versus bringing in a brand... I know you wouldn't, because we agree, even though you don't see the reasoning yet. If you bring in a brand new administration, they're going to do what's right. And their decision, if they decide to trade for a quarterback, will be because they'll be here in a year or two. Joe Shane may not be.
Yeah, this is...
Them dropping in the draft, to me, has ruined the idea of bringing back Joe Shane or Brian Daboll. You're comfortable, Giant fans, with Joe Shane trading future first-round picks for a quarterback? Are you serious?
I think a change in mentality is... I'm not saying it needs to happen across the league, but I think with John Mara it does. And what I mean by that is that everybody believes that tying a regime's head coach, general manager's fortunes to whether or not the quarterback develops and grows and does whatever is flawed. Mm-hmm. It's what is the culture of your team and does it result in winning, right? Because when you think about the Eagles. The Eagles are a team that last year, despite being in the playoffs for the third consecutive year, they're going to be in it for the fourth consecutive year, wanted to fire their coach.
Right.
Do you remember this?
Yes.
Nick Sirianni was like on the hot seat for some damn reason.
If they lose in the first round, it'll happen again.
I know. And it's just crazy to think about the idea of success and failure is, we have an expectation and you fall short because, I don't know, you're playing a better team maybe, mm-hmm. right? That we want to fire you. And I think that what John Mara has to weigh is, am I going to keep turning this thing over and over? You know, you flip that steak one time. By the way, you shouldn't flip it, but one time. You flip that thing six times, it's going to get better. Yeah, it's going to cook better on the other side. You know, I'm going to flip it again. Let me cook that thing over. I need to flip it one more time. It's not quite done yet. You know, let me sit this thing on the side for a second. They keep flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping, turning the thing over, and eventually it just gets ruined. That's what's happened to the Giants. They've overcooked the steak, so to speak, and the way that you'd limit that is just to let it sit there for a second, right? Stick your IQ sense in there, your chef IQ sense in there.
I think it's awesome, by the way.
And let your app tell you when it's done.
Yeah.
But just let it chill for a minute. And I think John Mara can't get caught in that again and just flip the steak again and turn it over and bring a new regime.
Batik, here's the problem, okay? And this is the part you're not going to agree with me on. We may agree that they shouldn't reach for mm-hmm. a quarterback. And to me, that means you fire Joe Shane and Brian Daboll on the Monday this season ends because they're going to be in a position to reach. But here's the other thing, because I like to look ahead. I'm a look ahead kind of guy.
Yep.
The New York Giants in 2025 are going to suck. And I'll tell you why. If you look ahead, and I know that schedules are flawed.
Yeah.
But if you look at their schedule in 2025, these are their home games next year. Home games. Obviously, the Cowboys, Eagles, Commanders. Good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
The Kansas City Chiefs, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Green Bay Packers, the Minnesota Vikings, and the San Francisco 49ers. Find me a win, sir. A win. Not two wins. Not three wins. A win. So, and by the way, their road schedule is not as bad,
yeah.
but it's still on the road against right. a Chicago Bear team that will probably have competent coaching. You know what I mean? A New England Patriot team that should be better in another year of Drake May. My point is the odds are stacked against either Brian Daboll or a new administration succeeding in 2025. Mm-hmm. Well, I got news for you. If Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are back next year in year four and they go 4-13, they're dead.
Okay.
With a new administration, I think most of us would be willing to say, all right, it's year one. We're growing.
Yeah, but then you end up saddling a new regime without a real plan. Because you've let, you know, Joe Shane and his staff already do the scouting. They have a direction that they want to go in. You're going to bring in someone completely new, and they're going to have to rip it down and start it over and have 3 months to do it. And right, sometimes that works, right? It worked with the Detroit Lions. But I feel like Dan Campbell and their general manager had a real idea of where they were going. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think doing that, stripping it down, ladling a new head coach with no quarterback, a jacked up infrastructure, a very rushed and hurried draft process and free agency process, and then getting your ass kicked for a year, it just starts you off on a terrible note. It's just really hard to recover
from
that.
Well, think of the adverse. The adverse is all of that happens, and Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are here. Yeah. You thought this season was ugly?
Well,
you thought the planes flying overhead were ugly?
Right.
Wait till you see it next year.
But at least then you know. Then you know.
But I already know. We already know. The Giants are going to have the deck stacked against them next season.
Great.
They have a brutal schedule.
Great.
They're very unlikely to succeed.
So then let Brian Daboll and this regime see if they can get past it. If they can have success in spite of
Batiki, you're okay doing that. And on the surface, that's cool. We'll just give him another year. Are you cool with Joe Shane trading next year's number one? And the number one after that to New England to get that quarterback that you don't even believe in?
I think the difference here between you and me,
mm-hmm.
is that you're convinced that Joe Shane is going to draft a quarterback.
1,000%.
No matter what.
Yes.
I'm not convinced that's going to happen. Not yet. Because I'm sorry. I mean, I know I don't watch a ton of college football, but Cam Ward was nowhere on my radar 2 years ago. Nowhere. And if somebody says that it was, you're lying.
Mm.
Shedeur Sanders, yeah, it's a cool story, but he was Deion's kid at Jackson State. Nobody was thinking he's going to be the top quarterback in the league. So you're going to take a 1 year sample and say that this kid is the savior to your franchise? I need much more intel and research than 1 year.
No,
and so, yes, it for us, for fans, it's, yeah, we got to get that guy because he's the best guy. But I don't necessarily believe that they're going to fall in love with those guys.
Do
if you don't fall in love with them, there's no chance you trade assets to go up and get
them. You think Joe Shane will be back, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I do too. I'm arguing why he shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I'm arguing why the Giants really need, for the myriad of reasons I've given, a completely clean slate. But we agree. And I think all of us agree. At the end of the day, come Monday, come Tuesday, come Wednesday, whenever John Mara makes it official and the puff of smoke comes out of New Jersey, they're all coming back. I am willing to bet you anything. You're wrong. They're going to stretch, they're going to dive, and they may even make a trade to number one or number two. And here's the funny thing, Teak. I agree with you. I had a lot of downtime over the last 2.5 weeks, and I started studying. I started watching. I started reading. Well, I started giving a rat's ass about college football, and my first reaction, not to claim to be an expert, is you're right. I agree with you.
Right.
If I was picking one or two, my attitude would be, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Let me take the quarterback and let me see. You willing to trade future ones?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, that's what they're going to do.
That's
and I will bet you anything. I'll bet you. Friendly bet, of course. No wager involving finances. I bet, and I hope I'm wrong, because I want goodness for everybody in 2025. I don't want everyone to be in the same hellhole that I am as a sports fan. I don't want to necessarily see the Giants suck. I don't. But I'm telling you right now, a desperate GM and a desperate head coach will absolutely 1,000% stretch like one of those Stretch Armstrongs. Remember those dials from 30 years ago? And they're going to take a quarterback. They're going to.
Mm. And they should.
And they should?
And they should.
Hold on. Are you willing?
Are you willing to move high water to get a quarterback?
So this is the
A GM who's going to be on the hot seat?
The short answer is... yes.
With a GM that's on the hot seat.
Yes, and here is the... Evan, this is where I will counter you. I believe whoever the next GM is, if it's not Joe Shane, is also going to feel pressure to do that. Because I believe from up top, there is immense pressure that they better get that position right. And also, something that nobody's talking about, because we all get caught up, media all the while, quarterbacks. In this upcoming draft, you talk to most draft experts, there are only 18 guys worthy enough to go in the first round. Two of them... are these quarterbacks.
Right, and there's 32 picks now.
32 picks. So to me, it sounds nice, and I agree. Tiki, by the way, I think they should add more O-linemen. I think they should do a lot with the cap space they have and everything.
By the way, I'm not talking about drafting O-linemen. I'm talking about signing free agents.
Signing free agents, and I think they should add to that. They had a good offseason. I don't think it's either or, but my point is, you know what's worse? To know that you could have had a trade partner, and then you watch Ward or Sanders be good, and you could have traded up for them, and again, you were left spinning the circle going, well, Sam Darnold got good with Minnesota. Why can't we figure that out? The Giants' best course of action is to land this in the draft. And if they build it the way you want to build it, Evan, if they do want to fire Shane and Dable and they feel that pressure, by the way, I'd do it again and I'd spend my first-round pick next year if they didn't trade him.
But the difference is Thomas Dimitroff. I'll use him as an example. Is that a fair example?
Yeah, that's a good one.
He's an experienced guy, successful guy. Let's say John Mara hands him the keys. He blows it up the way I'm recommending, and Thomas Dimitroff comes up. I completely disagree with you. He will look at this draft, he will look at this roster, and he will go to John Mara and say, I recommend not trading a future number one and trading this and that to New England for a quarterback that I think is okay, but I don't love. That is a big difference between a new fresh set of eyes and Joe Shane. Joe Shane is going to be desperate.
I agree that that sounds nice in a vacuum, and maybe I'm alone and maybe I'm on an island. I think the Giants have good people in the Mara family that care so much about the team, but I think one of their fatal flaws is that they are so obsessed with turning this around quickly because of what has happened. And after what they did with Shane and Dable, if the reason they're getting rid of them is, man, we really wanted stability, I think that interview process is going to be full of, who can turn this around the quickest? And I believe, because there's plenty of family members there, we've seen a couple of them that have been on top of all these road trips, Colorado, all this. I don't think much of the draft plan is going to change. I think whoever gets hired is still going to be fixated on the quarterback, and I think you're just throwing it against the wall
the
at that point.
The stability thing to me, I also reject wholeheartedly because, and I know it's tough to do this in the NFL, and it's certainly tough to do this on January 2nd. The New York Giants are destined to have a really bad season in 2025. They
you
just
need to
are.
Stop with that too.
No, but it's true.
You don't know. You would be yelling at me, Lugie, or Tiki if we brought up next year's schedule. The Chiefs, I'll give you. Everybody else, you have no idea how good they're going to be next year.
I get that it's not a perfect science, but
who's
would you
quarterback
guys
for the Vikings next year?
What was that?
I mean, who's playing quarterback?
Well,
for
we'll say you'll be safe. You know what? With Kevin O'Connell, it could be me.
Did you think the 49ers are going to be a last place?
No, and by the way, the Niners are one of the teams you're facing at home.
Right. Well, who knows what they look like?
My only point to you is, while nothing is a guarantee in sports, would you all agree it is highly likely the Giants are going to have a bad year next year based on the roster, based on potentially starting a rookie quarterback, based on the schedule, based on a lot of factors? It is likelier than not that you're looking at a 5-win season.
Look, if you have a top 5 pick in every round and you have 60 to 70 million in cap space, if you're winning 3 games next year, whoever the GM is, new or old, has done a bad job.
Right. I agree.
I want to get this out of the way right now on January 2nd, 2025. Long-term prediction.
Go ahead.
The Giants are winning less than 5 games next season. Go ahead. You agree or disagree?
Over.
Over? Okay. Lugie?
I'm going to go under.
Oh, good. He's with me. It's a little tag team match. We'll check this 1 year from now on January 2nd, 2026. That's a Friday, by the way. We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. There's a lot to get to on this very busy Thursday that oddly feels like a Monday. But because it is a Thursday that feels like a Monday, Bad Tiki will join the program coming up at 4:30. Plus, did Saquon Barkley take a direct shot at John Mara? And why Ron Rivera to the Jets is one of the worst ideas I've heard in the last year. Here we are on a Thursday that feels like a Monday, January 2nd, 2025. One more football game left, mercifully, for the two local teams. The Jets are at MetLife Stadium late Sunday afternoon trying to spoil the Miami Dolphins. And the New York Giants are in Philadelphia against the Philadelphia Eagles. More on the decision to have Saquon Barkley not play. More on the Jets coaching search. A lot to get to over the course of the next 4.5 hours. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. But over the last few weeks, I have been on the fence when it comes to Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. I've understood both sides. But really, the clarity of beating the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday and the position that the Giants are going to be in this upcoming offseason has made this very, very, very clear to me that they need a clean slate. That bringing Joe Shane and Brian Daboll back as quarterback horny head coaches and general managers. I like that term. Quarterback horny. Because they kind of are.
They are.
They're very, very excited to get a quarterback.
Every team is.
They are.
It's annoying.
You're right. He's going to put them in a position where they're not going to make the best long-term decision for the franchise. And ask yourself this, and I know we're going to get clarity on Sunday to find out where the Giants are going to pick. Maybe they lose to Philadelphia. Maybe New England wins. Maybe the draft board rechanges after the shocking events of Sunday. But if they're in the spot they're in now, it is likelier than not, and this is where Tiki and I disagree, that Joe Shane is going to reach as all hell and make a blockbuster trade to move up to take Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. And I ask every single Giant fan out there that is still on the I want continuity train, are you okay with what is going to be a lame duck on the hot seat general manager trading your future for a quarterback prospect lottery ticket?
Yeah, my problem with all of this is that I don't think trading your future for one of these guys is prudent. It just doesn't make sense. And I believe that the smarter head, meaning the guy who is in charge here, will not do that, especially if they don't absolutely love him. By the way, the New England Patriots are not drafting a quarterback. Somebody will trade up with them.
So. Yeah, the Giants! That's my point!
Probably more,
it's going to be them!
It's more likely Las Vegas, who have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
No fan base to actually scream at them, at least not locally. Most of the crowd there is... I mean, they sell out all the time because It's a great place to go visit, but it's not as loud in Las Vegas to do what you're alluding to. So it's probably going to be Vegas. And there's so many other teams that need quarterbacks. I don't know if the Giants are going to be able to do it yourself.
Oh, I think it will be. And I think they'll be the most desperate enough team to pull that off. And I would not feel comfortable letting Joe Shane do that. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Tony is in Middletown. How are you, Tony?
Yeah, doing well. I just want to say that, Shane is the same guy who evaluated Daniel Jones in 2022. And with his stellar 15 TD pass production, said, hey, you know what? This guy's worth $40 million. And now we're going to entrust this guy to pick a quarterback. He can't evaluate talent, and we don't have anyone that can develop a quarterback on the team based on evidence that we've seen over the last few years.
Well, so, I think the Daves can. I think this. It's hard to throw this all on Brian Daboll. Daniel Jones played as good as he could in year one of Daves' regime. Mainly, he didn't throw a ton of interceptions. Let's not forget that was Daniel Jones' Achilles heel.
Lowest interception percentage in the league that year.
Absolutely, tied with Jalen Hurts. But he was abysmal interception-wise. Numbers, touchdowns, all that stuff. He was great under, those previous regimes. But he just could not stop turning the football over. Daves got that right. We know that Daves, obviously, helped shape Josh Allen into the player that he is. So we know that there's a record. By the way, in year two, Daniel Jones got hurt. Their offensive line was abysmal. He got hurt. You're playing with the Tommy DeVitos of the world. It just was not a sustainable situation. They played hard. They could have won three or four more games. We talk about this. We've conveniently now forgot this, that end of that season, because of the culture and the way that they played. So the second part of his argument, I would take exception to. I can't just blindly say, or at least take the evidence of this year and say, well, Dave is a terrible coach of quarterback and developer. That's not true.
No, I disagree. Right? I agree with you.
Evidence tells us the opposite of that. What we don't know is the decision-making process that Joe Shane goes through.
Well, my criticism would be at Joe Shane. To be specific on it, okay, Daniel Jones was here. They wanted to give him a year to evaluate. And to your point, Brian Daboll got the most out of him.
100%.
Okay, after that, Joe Shane, this year coming off of an injury, decides, I'm good with Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
That's a mistake.
It was bad.
That was a huge mistake. That's number one. Number two, and maybe you could reverse the order of this quarterback draft, and I admit, it's early. Okay, it's the rookie seasons of all these guys. This has a chance to be a great quarterback draft. And Joe Shane passed on a few of those options. Now, the jury is still out on Bo Nix, obviously. Yeah. The jury is out on Michael Penix. And we'll see about J.J. McCarthy. But as of right now, it is not looking like his evaluation was that accurate.
Right.
So those two things, to me, are the criticism of Shane's evaluation more so than Dable's inability to develop a young quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's more on that. And so the first part, I could argue with you. I would not argue heavily with you. On Dave's, I would argue with you.
Chris is calling from Tinton Falls. Good afternoon, Chris.
Gentlemen, what's happy happening? New Year, boys.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, likewise. Tiki, a little thing. I agree. You don't flip a steak twice, but you can twist it to get those nice cross checks.
That's right. That's exactly right. They can look pretty.
I do a lot of grilling.
Right. They can look pretty before you put it in your stomach, and your stomach doesn't care.
It's true. But in keeping with analogies, one that I would hearken to is, first thing you do when you recognize you're in a hole, stop digging. Right. I view these guys as a whole. I do. I think Brian Daboll appears to be a really good offensive mind. I think there's a lot of questions. Is he a really good head coach? That, I think, is to be determined.
Right.
And his record says he's not, right? Joe Shane, there are a lot of misses there and some good hits. He's right. Patting himself on the back about Tyrone Tracy, but he's really putting to side the signing of Devin Singletary. That's almost $6 million for 400 yards. That's a miss.
Right.
And he doesn't want to acknowledge that. And a guy like you, all-purpose back, you were doing 2,000 yards a year, not hearing accolades about 1,000 combined scrimmage yards for Tracy.
Yeah,
nice player.
He's a rookie. He only started half the season. So, I kind of have to excuse that.
I like him. But my point is, I think I don't have faith, like Evan, in this regime. I think they will reach. I don't like them reaching on a quarterback. I would love somebody to sit tight, take best available, or better still, if they're at the fourth spot, trade back a little bit. They need depth all over.
And this administration will never do it.
Right, but he's dead right about that. The biggest issue, and I've been talking about this for 2 weeks, is the depth of this Giants team. As soon as one guy gets hurt, it all hell breaks loose.
No, and that's where you look at Joe Shane and say, you failed. Why am I comfortable giving that guy a fourth year with potentially a top five pick and maybe the wherewithal to move up to number one? Because think about this. Because here's where we disagree, and I need you to come up with good terms on this little fun bet on if Joe Shane is going to reach for a said quarterback, because I am so confident about it. How about you buy my Jet season tickets for me next year? Now, that's financial. I can't do that. Plus, that's just so mean. Imagine that. Imagine having to put Tiki's name on the bill, Tiki Barber Jet season ticket holder. Actually, wait a second. I like that.
All right.
That's actually what I'm going to do.
Maybe you get a free upgrade.
You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. If I win this bet, I will still pay for my Jet season tickets, but your name will be on the account.
Nice.
So that, every time.
It'll confuse the hell out of everybody.
Yeah. Tiki Barber, Jet season ticket holder. But I believe they will stretch. And I don't think Joe Shane has done enough over these 3 years where I would have the confidence in allowing him to make that trade. Because think about what that trade is right now. So as of this moment, the New York Giants are picking fourth in the NFL draft. Now, Sean, you are our tank expert. Assuming all the losers lose on Sunday, everybody loses, right? Patriots lose, Tennessee loses, Cleveland loses, Giants lose, everybody loses. Jacksonville, everybody loses. The Giants will remain at number four, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. If they're picking at number four, and Joe Shane is as quarterback excited as I described, do you know what that price tag is to go from 4-1?
No.
A future first-round pick, a future second-round pick, this year's one, maybe a 3 this year, and maybe something else. Are you comfortable with that?
It's a lot.
Of course. I know it's a lot.
Especially for a guy, I mean, the quarterback that you'd go up and take, you're not sure of.
That you're not sure of. And I know what Sean is going to say, and all the defenders of this, they'll say, well, if it's the right quarterback, it's worth it. Okay. Are you comfortable with Joe Shane being the guy to pull that trigger?
I am.
Why? Based on what?
I can tell you based on
I'm
what.
Sorry, I'm going to calm myself down. Based on what, Sean?
All right, couple things. Number one, Joe Shane has basically been a traveling circus around these two quarterbacks all year.
What does that mean?
Well, he's going to know, or at least he should know.
My point is, if he pulls the trigger, I'm assuming he should know and he's fallen in love. Number two, okay, what happened last year when they tried to trade up and they couldn't find any trade partner? Rather than panic and do something where you didn't believe in Michael Penix or Bo Nix,
right.
They did the right thing and took the best player available, which has been an enormous hit. So, ironically enough, and at his bye week presser, Joe Shane stood up there and said what he screwed up on in the first two drafts, plugging holes. I believe in his evaluation process off of last draft and what he's done this year following these quarterbacks, that he's not doing that unless he's sure, and I believe he's sure on these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it could be what Dave Gettleman did. That's what you're alluding to.
Yes.
Dave Gettleman was desperate for Devontae Smith. They didn't get him, so he trade back just to buy some time, and then he drafts Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
And passes on Micah Parsons. Like, what the hell are you thinking?
Right.
So that's not being prepared for your draft. The Giants didn't do that. They were prepared for the draft. They tried to make a move to go get Drake May. It didn't happen, so they sat put and sat where they were, and they drafted a hell of a rookie wide receiver in Malik Nabers, who is a stud, and he's only going to get better, especially as he learns how to take care of his body and stay healthy, because he's been banged up for the majority of this season.
And what I'm telling everybody now, as somebody who's watched a lot of college football, there are basically two guys who the whole world doesn't think will be a bust. Abdul Carter, this defensive lineman from
Penn State,
and Travis Hunter, who could go both ways, but probably a cornerback. Outside of that, anybody screaming about, oh, what if these quarterback bust? Everybody else is on bust alert. So this is not your normal draft if you're just
saying.
Right,
so it goes back to my question, which is, are you willing to trade what it's going to take?
Yeah. Yes, I would.
You just said that they're all on bust alert.
Because I would rather take the chance that I'm going to hit on the quarterback I've done the prep than bust on taking another position without taking... Imagine busting on another position, cornerback or something, while the quarterback you could have traded up for ends up being all-world and awesome?
But I think that a newer...
Why can't that happen?
Of course, yeah, it's almost better to take the risk. I hear what you're saying.
On the
quarterback than a cornerback.
Especially...
It's going to set you back when he's not as good as you thought he was supposed to be.
And at least, you know, you want to make the case at least other teams. The Giants don't have a quarterback on the roster, right?
No, I get you. And look, that's the scary part about all this is that...
That's true. Yeah, Sean, I talked about this on Monday. There is not a single quarterback on their
roster.
Look,
the starting quarterback for the New York Giants... Sorry, Tommy, I feel like uncomfortable saying this.
Okay.
But the starting quarterback for the New York Giants in 2025 is not on this roster. It's not Drew Locke. It's not Tommy DeVito. And is that it? Is Tim Boyle still technically on the roster?
Technically, he's still. I think he's on the practice.
There's going to be, it's like the Royal Rumble coming up. There's going to be a surprise entrant that's going to be the quarterback of this football team. But if Joe Shane is here, to me, it is much, much, much more likelier. In fact, I'd say it's a slam dunk that quarterback starting, or at least starting in waiting, is someone they draft. If they bring in a brand new administration with a fresh set of eyes, I think it is more likely that they make the decision of, I don't need to be quarterback hungry. I wasn't the one who didn't have one the last 3 years. Let's go to Chris in Bayshore. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, good, guys. How are you?
What's up, man?
Wonderful.
Listen, Evan, I agree 100% with you on your take on Daboll and Shane. I do think they have to go, and I also think that they are... That is their mindset with the quarterback. But also, T, I agree with you as well, because I don't think that either guy is somebody they're really committed to. I mentioned that to McPherson the other day, jumped all over me. I don't think that they have to, it's a given they would take either one of those guys. And, I think there's other options. I think you don't know what Minnesota's going to do. And,
right, with Sam Darnold.
Darnold, the arm's 27 years old. Why don't you throw a bucket load of money at him? I mean, if Daboll is such a quarterback whisperer, why can't he make that work?
Yeah, the hard thing about that, Chris, and I think Sean and I talked about this on Monday, is that what if this was just a perfect situation with the right offensive mind and Kevin O'Connell?
What if the Vikings are living Case Keenum again?
Yeah, exactly. And so now you go get Sam Darnold, and he reverts to his mean.
I think there's a big difference, though, between Case Keenum and Sam Darnold.
I think Sam was
a guy who always had that great potential.
Yes. He didn't play a ton in college, we all remember, because he came out early. And then he was in a terrible situation with the Jets, and he just bounced. He became the afterthought. But as I predicted, and now I can take my full lap because he's officially made the Pro Bowl at the beginning of the season – you get this sense that he was in the perfect spot for him, mainly because of the head coach.
Oh, you nailed it.
Because of Kevin O'Connell.
No, you're right about that.
Who groomed him into this player who was making good decisions, even though there was a couple of, like, I don't know, mind-numbing throws that he was trying to make. Thought he was, more adept than he was. But when he played within himself, the dude is really good.
Yeah, so the Sam Darnold discourse, to me, is going to be determined by how this ends.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is... if Sam Darnold has a big three-interception, mindless, mistake-filled home playoff loss, which would be so Viking-like, they beat the Lions on Sunday night, they're the number one seed, and they lose it all, right? And Sam's terrible, there isn't going to be any Viking fan or anybody in general who's going to say, oh, bring it back with Sam. What you'll say is, yeah, he had a great year. O'Connell got the most out of him. Now it's time to move on. J.J. McCarthy's the guy who we can get to the next level with.
You see this often, and it's a trap, and I know it is, and it's like this paradox because it's real, but you don't know how to actually take it. And I'm talking about guys in their contract years. For whatever reason... You just play better.
Yeah.
You're just heightened.
Everybody, though. Some guys struggle in their contract years. Talking to you, Pete Alonso.
Pete, whatever. He'll still get paid a little bit. Glaber played better at the end of the season. Ended up signing with Detroit for a year for whatever reason, but whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, these guys have these immense seasons in these contract years. So that's essentially where Sam Darnold is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what do you take from it? Is this who he is, or is this just who he heightened to become?
Well, I would take my cue on what the Vikings do with it. The Vikings just lived with him for a year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're having this incredible year. If the Vikings are saying, we're going to stick with our first-round pick, who now has just had two knee surgeries and not signed Darnold, that's a major red flag to me if I'm pursuing
Especially since we all trust Kevin O'Connell.
Yes.
Right? We all think he's the quarterback. I really think...
And Daniel Jones is there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Not activated.
I think the way this ends is going to determine everything. if he has a dud, especially at home.
Against the better competition. Now you're in the postseason.
Yeah, and that's possible. Like, I can totally see that scenario where the Vikings win on Sunday against Detroit. They storm back. They have this incredible year. Mm-hmm. They're the number one seed in the NFC. And like the Vikings have done before, they lose a home playoff game and they get knocked out, right? I think then the discourse on Sam is way different. If he leads the Minnesota Vikings to the Super Bowl, something I'm not old enough to remember, something, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, it means a lot to me, last happened when they were an outdoor team. And that matters.
The Purple People Eater teams, right?
There's no way they don't bring him back.
Yeah.
And I think that changes everything.
Well, it would destroy whatever aura you had in your locker room. Because he's become a leader.
Love that guy.
They absolutely love him. You saw it after last week's game? Yeah, last week's game, where they love him. And so just to get deep into the playoffs, whether it's the Super Bowl or just short of it, and then say, see you, Sam. Good luck. Have fun. And then you get J.J. McCarthy, who's a rookie coming off an injury. That might be a disaster for them.
Yeah. Let's go to Mario in Long Branch. What's going on, Mario?
What's up, Mario?
What's up, Roman?
All's good. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year.
Happy New
Year. You too, Evan.
Happy New Year, sir.
I have a bone to pick with Evan Roberts.
All right. Pick it away, baby.
You know, your fandom is terrific. Your sports knowledge is unbelievable.
But?
But.
But. You knew there
lay
was a
off
but.
The Giants, dude.
What have I said
I'm
that's incorrect?
You,
what have I said that's incorrect?
I love Brian Daboll and Joe Shane to continue to run the Giants.
Okay.
They don't need Shedeur Sanders. I watched that game. He looked like a Giant quarterback with that offensive line on Colorado. He was getting hammered.
And his cleats, yes.
He was getting destroyed.
Okay, so you don't want Shedeur Sanders. So what do you want? What do you want that
I want them to stay right where they are on the pick number 4. Mm-hmm. They got a great tight end at Penn State, number 44. Forgot his name, but he's unreal. And I just want to stay the course. The Giants are not going to stink, as you keep repeating, because you are the greatest Giants troll.
Well, watch
in
this.
New York.
Watch this, Mario. I'm going to make things fair and balanced for everybody.
He was referring to Tyler Warren, by the way.
Was he?
Oh, I thought you were talking about who the Giants have.
Yeah,
already.
The current tight end.
Right. I thought he was talking about I don't know.
Theo Johnson.
So he wants Theo Johnson or he wants Tyler Warren?
He wants Tyler Warren.
Listen, so he wants the Giants to get tight end fourth.
I think you guys should lay off the gentleman. No. He's a nice, nice guy. Well, don't pick on him, okay?
He's not Brock Bauer.
Right. Who would pass on Brock Bauer?
The Jets.
No. I'm not going to lay off. If you're a Giant fan calling the station.
Lay off the man.
No. And you want to take a tight end fourth overall you don't know the name of over trade up for a quarterback, you don't know football.
All right, fine. That is not nice to that gentleman.
I don't care.
I'm sorry that Sean was mean to you. But I want to make something clear to our last caller. I already forgot his name. I apologize.
Mario.
I want to make something clear to you, Mario.
Long Branch.
I said earlier, if you're just tuning in, you could rewind on the Odyssey app, but unfortunately, when you look at the Giant roster, when you look at their talent, when you look at the fact that I believe they will stretch for a quarterback, and you look at their brutal home schedule that next year will feature the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Packers, the Vikings, the Niners, along with their divisional opponents, they're going to be bad. They're going to stink. I said earlier they will win fewer than 5 games. And you take that as hate. You take that as, wow, Evan's mean. He doesn't like the Giants. Real quick, and I don't really care who asked the question, whether it's Tiki, Sean, Lugie, I don't care. Can someone ask me my year-out prediction on the New York Jets?
What's your year-out prediction on the New York Jets?
They're going to suck! And they're going to suck badly!
Who are their home teams? Home games?
The Dallas Cowboys. Oh, we got them from the NFC. Remember I told
might
you there's
a new coach, and who knows what Dak's going to do. So he could get lucky.
The Denver Broncos.
Yeah, they're going to be better.
The Carolina Panthers. The Atlanta Falcons.
The Browns Steelers.
I'm not done yet.
Oh, look at
the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their road games, their schedule's a lot easier is the point. Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Cincinnati, Baltimore. My point is,
there's some tough ones in there, though.
It is, yeah. Not as tough as the Giants. My point is, I'm not out to tell you the Giants stink because I'm a hater. I'm calling it like it is. I thought the Giants would be good this year. I was wrong. I hold up a big L. I thought they would be better than this. I wouldn't even say good, Teak. I thought they'd be better than this. I thought they were a 7-win team. I don't know if that's good, but it was certainly better than this. So it's not about hating or trolling or making fun of you. It's about the reality. And the reality is, if you run it back with this general manager and this head coach, it is more likely that Tiki's not going to get what he wants. As he has stressed to everybody listening, don't reach on a quarterback. Don't reach on a quarterback. I don't love these quarterbacks. Well, guess who's going to? Joe Shane and Brian Daboll will.
You have really short memory, too,
Pat. On what?
Okay, do we think the Giant roster is going to be better next year based on cap space and picks?
I hope so.
Okay.
Sean, before you continue.
Yeah.
Every single team in the NFL.
There should be better.
Every team in the NFL's fan base, as we enter Week 18, is saying our roster should be better next season.
No doubt.
So to use that as any kind of leverage point is ridiculous.
But I'm going to, because this season has spiraled so far out of control, we've also lost touch and touch base with reality.
Which is what?
All before that Daniel Jones benching, all we did every Monday was scream about how many throws he missed and what was missed. And you could go back and count them. Both Cowboy games, the Steeler game, the Panther-Germany game, the Bengal game, the Giants in all those one-possession games Joe Shane touted, with competent quarterback play, win all of those games. The first Washington game. So as bad as this has been, and as bad as the roster he put together is in, and as much as I'm telling you the roster is going to be better, if they had found a decent rookie quarterback, the Giants might be alive today for a playoff spot. Don't tell me they're definitely winning less than five games next year.
You sound like a Jet fan from last year. Are you reading Evan and BT's notes from last year? That's exactly what the Jet fan said, and they went backwards. Backwards. And you're the one that always goes, well, we hear about the Jets roster.
But what's the common issue? The quarterback.
I understand that.
Exactly. It's always the quarterback.
And that's all I'm saying, which is why I'm swinging.
Right. I think you have to look at also the division. Jaden Daniels is going to be a major problem.
Yep,
Cowboys will be back.
Right,
the Eagles
are going nowhere.
That's just division.
By the way, as you guys were talking, I want to let you guys know and the audience know at home, I did bring in an Expo Bold Color Dry Erase black pen to fix my white erase board that features the Sean Morash versus Tommy Lugauer Lugash debate series standings. Every once in a while, they go at it. They have a debate. Tiki and I vote on it. Blah, 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 blah. It has now been updated to see Sean Morash 4, Tommy Lugauer 3. We are now updated going into 2025.
I'm glad you listened to me. You fixed the marker. I also have an announcement on January 2nd. I'm retiring from the Lugash debate series. I've decided, like Tiki did in 2006, I'm going out on top.
That's not how this works.
I'm announcing my retirement.
You're not allowed
to. You should read your contract that you signed.
Right. You're
just
not allowed.
Little bit closer.
I'm retiring.
Okay, well,
retire when we say you retire.
Is that so? Oh, it is so. I was looking at some contracts over the winter vacation, and if you refuse to do this, your contract becomes null and void. Mm. There's one other thing in your contract that I can't believe your agent didn't tell you about. I don't know if you know about this, Deke.
I don't know if I do either.
Sean Morash is obligated, no matter what happens at the Super Bowl, to be on the radio Monday at 2 o'clock after said Super Bowl is played. Now, I don't know if that's in anybody's contract. Now, we all are because we're professionals. Mm-hmm. Everybody works the Monday after the Super Bowl. It's a given. Yeah. Some people may take vacation a few days later, that. But every single person, barring, death in the family,
Family emergency,
the Monday after the Super Bowl. But for some reason, it's actually written in your contract, just so you know, just in case Saquon is the Super Bowl MVP.
I am going to be here with bells on after that Rams-Chiefs game, no problem.
Rams-Chiefs game.
That's
thank
what
you.
You're calling. Rams-Chiefs Rams already?
You know what's funny about that, Teak? That is my preseason Super Bowl pick.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I don't remember what I said.
Oh, we have it. We have all the audio. You want that now or later?
No, we could do it later.
No, when we get to the playoffs.
But I just don't remember.
So I was looking at it the other day. If I'm not mistaken, two of them.
You were so close to not even having the Rams in, and then they miraculously found their way back into contention.
Unbelievable. My Chiefs-Rams Super Bowl, you may even say, sounds pretty good. Lugie is almost eliminated. Do you remember your Super Bowl? I have it written down. Go ahead.
Chiefs 49ers.
That is incorrect. Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. Chiefs 49ers. Sean is the one. Do you remember your Super Bowl?
Yes. Bengals Packers.
There you go.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're almost eliminated.
He's almost eliminated.
Am I almost very live?
Well, I mean, look at this. In week 12, the Rams were 5-6.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
Crazy, right?
And they won 5 in a row.
Yeah. We will reveal our pre-Super Bowl picks and see if we're right or wrong, right around the Super Bowl. So we got time before we get to that. We'll get back to your calls coming up. 888-808-1019. Toll-free number. Bad Tiki will join us at 4:30. And when we come back, did Saquon Barkley take a major shot at John Mara? We will listen and explain coming up. Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades anywhere you go, try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus. Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.